Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And I think I've got this going. So, is that recording? Okay. I finally figured it out. Moved into from the dinosaur age to high tech. Okay. Let's look at tool 56 this morning. Devote yourself often to prayer. Cardong's translation isn't too different this time. Give yourself frequently to prayer. In Latin, we have orazione frequenter incumbere. So again, I like to always look at the Latin and give you my own translation, as you know by now. Oratio, of course, we identify it as prayer. And but in classical Latin, so that's before St. Benedict, it really means language or speech. Or interestingly, a message from the emperor. Right away, that suggests, if we use the classical meaning, a message from our king. Of course, we know who our king is, or we hopefully have as our king, the Lord God. So it suggests right away, prayer is something that first comes from God in God's contact with me. Frequenter, well, we get the word frequent or frequently, etc. in English, but something that is done often or repeatedly. You keep doing it. Or do something in large, significant numbers. When I learned to go to confession in 1963, Sister Mary Peter, the Irish presentation sister, taught us that you go down and you tell the priest how many times you have done certain sins. I disobeyed my parents 5 times since my last confession, or something like that. So you do something in large numbers. And incumbere, the verb, means to be prostrate. And prostrate means, of course, you throw oneself down or you fall down. And you know, whether it's in concrete ditches or other places, you're prostrate. But it also means to devote attention to something, to focus on something very specific. So putting all these together, my translation is to devote attention repeatedly to addressing God, or devote attention repeatedly to God addressing me. Suddenly prayer then is something a little different. It's not me. You know, however I'm praying, it's God praying in me. And that's simply St. Paul, where he says the Spirit is crying out in the depths of your own heart, Abba, Father, reaching the Spirit within us, which is, of course, the Holy Spirit, and God's Spirit, and the third person of the Trinity, speaking and communicating with God the Father, and, of course, through the mystery of the second person of the Trinity. So we have, really, prayer is Trinitarian by its nature, as Sister or St. Elizabeth of the Trinity articulated so well. 130 years ago. The method of Christian prayer, what is that? Well, lectio is the first thing. And that's God, again, speaking to me, the lectio in the sense of reading. It's God who speaks to me. Some 43 years ago, Father Paul Jerome published a book, Don't You Belong to Me. Maybe you've seen it in the library, maybe some of you have read it. Not that it was a bestseller, but it was there. Don't You Belong to Me. And he entitled it that because he's in his preface or whatever it is, introduction, he speaks about a monk kind of crying out, almost like a sense of an orphan, searching for God. And this response comes, but don't you belong to me? Meaning, it is God who speaks to you, you belong to me. That's the kind of intimacy of this prayer that we're talking about. But I have to have an attentive ear to hear God saying, but you belong to me, Paul Mark. You belong to me. And then my response, we might call it prayer, and it is prayer, but it's a response, that comes second. So God's always the initiator by being creator, by being redeemer, by being advocate or intercessor on our behalf. I can only be the responder. But that doesn't make me passive, does it? To hear first God speaking to me, you belong to me, Paul Mark. By hearing that first, it informs me of how to respond then to God's loving invitation. If I hear that, I'm going to respond in a particular way. Just in the same way, if we have a very harsh, judgmental concept of God and in a sense of an abusive, say, a parent or something, you know, barking at us, we're going to go running and hiding in the closet or under the coffee table or some furniture, trying to get away, rather than respond. So turning the mind and heart to God forms a prayerful spirit, certainly an attitude, and creates a practice of the presence of God in this uninterrupted prayer. So let's look at scripture and monastic prayer. We know already, because we just read it, I'm not too sure when, just a day or two ago, from 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. Don't ever stop. What does that mean? Because I would go crazy if I was constantly saying the Lord's Prayer or any other prayer, perhaps, or forcing myself. Well, it means to give myself wholly to God in the details of daily life. Ronald Rollheiser, in his book Forgotten Among the Lilies, says this about to pray always. To pray always, as Jesus says, implies that we read the signs of the times, that we look at the conspiracy of accidents which shape our lives and read in these accidents the finger and providence of God. The language of God is the experience that God writes into our lives. To pray means to read our lives religiously, being attentive to the mystery that is inherent in all existence and above all in each one of us as image and likeness of God. So to pray without ceasing. Likewise, in Luke we have the very well-known story of the tax collector, the publican, and the Pharisee. And we know the role, by Jesus' own words, of the necessity of compunction, this confession of my unworthiness, of my tears, my sighs, whether they're physical tears, more likely interior tears, the awareness of my unworthiness and my infidelity, and a plea for forgiveness, what we practice at every one of the hours of the divine office and at Mass. There's the penitential rite built in to our daily divine office. Maybe we don't think of the Lord have mercy as a penitential rite, but it is. Constantly calling forth that mercy of God for us. Likewise, in our larger monastic context, John Cashin, both in Institute 2 and Conference 9, teaches us likewise that prayer comes from God's initiative. And prayer is intense, but always brief. And Saint Benedict echoes that. In other words, what does that mean? Well, prayer comes from God. I can't force it. Prayer cannot be feigned, let alone dramatized. I think that's important for us. Prayer is natural to us, but it's also that which is not, in a sense, acted out. And therefore, when it happens, let it happen. As St. Bernard would put it, when the visit of the bridegroom comes, the bridegroom comes, and then the bridegroom goes. And don't try to hold on to it or hold on to him. Hold on to the experience. Because immediately, as William of St. Thierry would say, the moment you do that, you've created an idol. Because God is no longer there. God has gone, as it were. Of course, God doesn't go, but I hold on to these experiences saying this is prayer and I have to constantly have this. Well, in the Christian tradition, the East does have the Jesus prayer, the unceasing repetition of the mantra. In our monastic world, as we know in the West, which of course comes from the East as well, we have John Cashin recommending, or the Abba that he was interviewing says, O God, come to my assistance. And again, St. Benedict works that in to the divine office. So we say that, in this case, six times a day, because our vigils has a different opening. We make other scriptural mantras, primarily perhaps from our Psalms, our own. At least that's what I've done over the years I've been in the monastery. Plus the role of the divine office, the role in the ascetical practice of lectio and meditation. And then we have in the West our own particular repetitive prayer forms, such as the rosary, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, other kinds of things that may prove to be useful and helpful. If repetition is the mother of all learning, then this repetition is essential in our progress, as we heard this morning, to make more and more progress to God in our chapter 62 of the rule. So in conclusion, what identifies your prayer practice? How have you been led? How have you been inspired through your Lectio practice to maintain a regular daily practice of this mindfulness of God? And what rises to your consciousness in the times of trouble, when the logismoi threaten you, to undermine you, to disturb your peace? Or what rises to your consciousness in times of peace, or stability and settledness and calmness, what we call hesychia?